So last night we spoke about the issues of Breira as relates to the Tzivei HaBaal, the recommendation of Tosos that the Baal should be Mesabe, the Sofer Eidim, to write as many Gittin as necessary until the Kashrut Get is written, to avoid the potential problem of a terminated Shlichus, where conceivably if you were to appoint a Sofer Eidim to write and sign a Get, that's Kashrut, and then they were to write and sign a Get that is Kashrut, but doesn't conform to all the chumras that we have in Hilchos Gittin, and then they would write another one. So it's possible that the authorization would have terminated before they write the second get, and that would be an unauthorized get. Therefore, Tosa recommends having a more blanket authorization to allow for the writing of multiple gittin. In Shulchan Aruch it says that it's preferable to do that. However, the Rama says even if you do that, you should still have the Baal be memana individually every single time you end up writing another get. If he's able to do that, if he's still around, because that may run into issues of Breira if you just used a blanket minoy and there are multiple gittin written. Okay. So Lacha Maisa, the common practice is to have such a minoy to allow for the writing of up to 100 gittin, but if there is a need to write another get, someone makes a mistake, the eidim make a mistake, and another gets written, then the husband will reauthorize himself in the eidim as appropriate. There's another application where Breira comes into play in Hilchos Gittin, and that is the rare situation in which we lechatchila write two Gittin because of some suffix in the way to write a get. So we don't do this too often, but there are certain situations in which there may be a legitimate and unreconcilable suffix as to what the correct name of a person is. So in such a situation, it may be appropriate to write two gittin to cover your bases. So where you write two gittin, the mechaber paskins in Siman Kuf Kaf Tes Sif Yud Tes v'yesh misha omer shekishenosei shnei gittin leisha, in the situation in which you do give two gittin, lo yitin l'shneiem b'vas achas ela b'zar chaseh, you shouldn't give both of them to her at the same time. You shouldn't have the husband give two gittin in her hand at the same time, but they should be given one after the other. So the Beis Shmuel comments over here. The reason that you shouldn't give both gittin at the same time is the shema daito ala getch eino kasher. But number one, maybe the husband only has in mind one of them. The husband thinks this is the right one, and then he's not going to have a mind to be megarish with the other one, which, for all we know, may be the correct one. Or gami ish chashash mishum breira. There is a consideration of breira that if you don't allow for breira, or breira is inapplicable, so if you give two gittin at the same time, only one of them is kasher. You don't know which one, so you may run into that breira problem. And also, the Beis Shmuel quotes a possible limud of sefer pisos v'lo shnei svarim. And maybe there's a phantom Zeres HaGosev that we don't really find elsewhere. The Torah says you have to give a sefer krisos, and a sefer is a single sefer, not two svarim. So if you were to give two svarim at the same time, two gittin at the same time, maybe that's a violation of, or a lack of kiyum of sefer krisos.
If they're one after the other, do you have a brayer issue?
If it's one after the other, so we'll talk about how one after the other solved the brayer issue. The Nod Bihuda writes, Pitzchei Shuva quotes the Nod Bihuda, that the Nod Bihuda had the practice that where he was Mesader two gittin, he would do the following. He would not tell the husband about his plans. He wouldn't even tell the Eidim about his plans. It was his own secret. So he was Mesader a regular get, and then they did the Eidim sign the get, and the get was delivered, and as soon as the husband delivered the get, the Nod Bihuda would say, I just realized something, we have to do that again, I may have made a mistake. And then he would start again from scratch with a new get, a new chasivas edim, and a new mesira. And that way, he solved any potential breira problem, because each time the husband had in mind only this specific get. There's only one get figuratively and literally on the table. And then there's no issue of breira. There's no fakos involved. No, the Yehuda is the only one who knew that Tiana mind, you're going to ask for another get an hour later. But as far as the husband was aware, there's only one get at any given time. He didn't know the first time that there'd be a second time. And the second time, he didn't know that the first get may have been legitimate because the Nodav Yehuda told him he made a mistake and he has to write another get. That's how the Nodav Yehuda accounted for the potential problem of Brera.
I would guess over time people realize the Nodav Yehuda was doing this.
I can't imagine it happened too often in the court of the Nodav Yehuda. And as often as it happened, it was that particular Baal wouldn't have thought twice to be mefarsem and put in the newspapers that the Nodav Yehuda sometimes writes two gits and it doesn't tell you about it.
That
the Nodav Yehuda sometimes writes two gits and it doesn't tell you about it until later.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think he was too concerned about the word getting out. It's not a common practice. And the Rama writes over here. The ein lasis shnei gittin ela midochak, that you should only write two gittin under extremely extenuating circumstances where you have no other way out, and that's something that we generally avoid.
Like, we're not sure his name is like Shmo ben Yaakov or
let's say we're not sure whether his name is Shai or Shayahu. That's one case where maybe two gittin would be worth it.
What would the problem if you write, you know, such and such who might also be named?
Because you don't put a sfeikus into get. You know, we have to identify the person. So to identify him as someone who may be identified as someone is.
So is that what's done in Nodav Yehuda? When
where two gittin are given, that is what's done. In our Bezdin, in recent years, just about under all circumstances, we haven't done two gittin in a very long time. Doesn't come. Some Batidin are a little more noted to do it. Some Batidin may write two gittin in a case where there's a suffix about the name of the father, but we would just leave off the name of the father as we discussed in earlier share. The one case where we do write two gittin is a case of get cheresh, which hopefully we'll get to in the next few shirim, which is some parsha. But there we'll see the two gittin are not the classic two gittin, and we'll have to explain why.
And if the father, you couldn't use Ben Avraham as a catch-all?
No, because it's not true. A ger is Ben Avraham Avinu, but no one's Ben Avraham.
Ben Avraham Avinu, I'm sorry.
No, that means a ger.
It's not necessary.
Well, it's more than not necessary, it's not true. Meaning, a ger is halachically defined as identified as Ben Avraham Avinu. A regular born Jew is not identified as Ben Avraham Avinu.
Okay.
That would be an incorrect identification. If I called you Ben Avraham Avinu, it wouldn't be true.
Why not?
Because you're not the son of Avraham Avinu, you're the son of your father.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you write, let's say, Yehuda the Jew?
That wouldn't. I mean, you write Yehuda. Period. If there's a suffix in the name of the father, you could leave the name of the father out. So just write Yehuda. Yep. So we talked about last week a little bit. Okay.
What happens if the father knows his Hebrew name?
So
Morris?
Even if father knows his Hebrew name but doesn't use his Hebrew name, we don't write the Hebrew name.
What?
Even if a father knows his Hebrew name but doesn't use it, we don't write the Hebrew name. We write names, I mean, that's an old machlokes, but our practice and the practice of most Batei Din is that if you have even a Shem Kodesh, even a Hebrew name that was given at birth, which is not in use, so that's called Nishtaka. It's been forgotten. And potentially, if you include a name that's Nishtaka in a get, then that could possibly get. So our general operating principle when it comes to names and gittin is when in doubt, leave it out. And if there's any suffix, we omission in most circumstances would not possibly get. Inclusion of a name that is unwarranted would possibly get. So just about any time there's any suffix, we leave it out. As long as you have the name that a person is correctly identified or normally identified by.
What about Leitz the Torah? He always uses the English name, but when he goes once a year, Yom Kippur, he gets his Aliyah.
So if it's only once a year, it could be that doesn't rise to the level of use. You know, usually we assume that it has to be used three times in a year.
Three
so if a person gets an aliyah three times a year, so then he's mufsak by the name. If it's once a year, so that arguably is from the shtaka, at least in the realm of Safek, and we would leave the name out. You know, there could be borderline gray areas, but the general rule is that if you have a chanicha shekol korimbo, the nickname that a person goes by, you haven't called him by that name, if you write that name exclusively in the Gad, it's definitely kosher. Even if the person uses his Hebrew name and you should have used the Hebrew name and you omit it, chanicha shekol korimbo is kosher. So whenever there's any suffix, we would sooner leave something out than include something down from the
stack. More is not good. Adding
what? More is not good, right?
Oh.
Adding more is never good, unless it's warranted. We don't add more for the sake of more. We add more where it's correct. The person could have six names, and he's called by all six names. So there are a few people that call him by every name, so we'll write all six names. But if there's any doubt, then we'll have to investigate as appropriate as possible to determine what name the person goes by. But if there's any doubt, we'll leave it out.
There's a guy at my work, his name is Melech. He goes by Milech and Eli.
Okay.
Tough to stay married.
Okay, good. So let's go back to the Gemara now. But this rare issue that we talk about with two gittin may also have a parallel in chalitza, because the halach in chalitza is that the person, the chalitza shoe is put on the right foot. Assuming you have someone that kicks with his right foot. Usually we don't think about how we kick. We think about how we throw a ball or bat. Bat's right, throw's left. But, they don't say in the statistics how they kick. At least not in soccer. Most people kick with their right foot. If you have someone who kicks with their left foot, it's iter regel. So that's the machlokas. We showed him, poskim. Lemaisa, what do you do with the chalitza shoe? So three possibilities. Either he kicks left but puts the chalitza shoe on his right foot, or he puts it on his left foot, or you can't do chalitza. So maybe you could do both. So that's this issue. So we paskin that you would put it on his right foot and do the chalitza that way, and then start again and do the chalitza on the left foot, or vice versa. But that Pitzkei Tshuva there brings up the issue of Breyer as well, so it would be the same question and possibly the same solution as another Yehuda solution by two gittin. And if the other person is aware that you're going to be doing chalitza on both feet, so may get into issues of Breyer. See if you do one and then don't tell him about it and then do the other again, so that may obviate the potential problem of Breyer. That may be connected to the same issue as another Yehuda raised in the giving of two gittin. Okay. Baruch Hashem, we have not had to deal with a chalitza of an iter regel.
But the same frequency as
Yeah. I think it's less.
Are we left? Oh, really? So
I think even people who are lefties still kick right. Any lefties here?
I kick with my left.
You kick with your left?
I mean, not that I do that often, but yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You do, I mean, you're based in this chalitza also? Is that okay?
Full service best.
How often does it happen?
Lowly knew it shouldn't happen. We average about one a year. Okay. Fine, so let's move on a little bit. Still in the sixth parak. So Gemara, the Mishnah says, and Daf Samech Vav Amud Aleph. Mishai Yamushlach Labor. Person was cast away in a pit, a dungeon. The Amar Kolo Shemeyas Kolo Yichtov Get Leishto, and he screams out, or some of the Gersel Ishti screams out, whoever hears my voice should please do me a favor and write a get for my wife. So even though no one actually sees this person who's deep in the dungeon, and no one can identify him definitively. Nevertheless, you can write a get on the basis of your hearing his authorizing, general authorization of writing a get. So Gemara is bothered. How do you know it's a person? Maybe it's a shade. So the Gemara deals with that. Then the Gemara says, don't we need to be able to identify who a person is? That you need hakara, you can't write a get unless you know the identity of the Baal and the Isha. The Gemara says, b'shas ha-sakana, kosim v'nosin afa b'she'en makirin. That's true in general. But b'shas ha-sakana, you're allowed to write a get even if you don't have an active hakara, even if you can't identify who the Baal is or even prove that the Baal is married to the wife in question. So Rashi writes, "V'shas ha'sakana kigon zeshem isukan lamus ve'im lo achshav emasai." We're talking about a person who is on the verge of dying. It's now or never. He's requesting that you write a get. Maybe there's a concern that there's going to be a zika for a yibum, and if you don't write a get, then his wife is going to be in a tough situation because the yabam is in a medina sayam, and he won't be able to do yibum chalitza. So this is the only chance to do a proper get. So even if you don't have an active hakara of the husband, you can still write the get on the basis of a sivui because this is a shas ha-sakana. So there's a machlokes chronim as to how far to take this shas ha-sakana. So strictly speaking, Rashi seems to limit shas ha-sakana to a case where there's an actual danger, an imminent danger to the life of the husband. The question is whether you can extend that to other extenuating circumstances as well. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in the Siman Kuf Kaf Sif Gimel that Kosvin Geli Ish Afapisha Ein Ish Tawi Mo, Vahusha Yu Eidim Shachasma Bo Makirin Vayodim Shizab Ploni Vish Tawi Ploni. So you're allowed to write a get, even if the wife is not present for the writing of the get, as long as the Eidim have Hakara, the Eidim can identify and know who the husband is, who the wife is, and that the husband and wife are married to each other. And the standards for Hakara, for writing of a get, are lower than the regular Eidus standards. It's sufficient to have Eidus of a Karov, Eidus of an Eidachad, Eidus of an Isha. So in the same way that we're makel for Eidus Isha, for Eidus to testify that a husband has died to allow his wife to remarry, so you know, that low-level Eidus is sufficient for Hakara to identify who a husband and who a wife is. If you have one person, even if he's a Karav, even if it's a woman, who can tell us that this is Sam and this is Harriet and they're married to each other, then that's enough for us to write again on that basis. Ramosha, I don't think this is in print, but Ramosha is quoted as saying, and this is the standard practice of Batei Din, that nowadays it's sufficient even if you don't have an active Eidus Hakara, even if you don't have someone who can come and testify that this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so, and they're married together, as long as the husband and wife have some kind of unique photo identification, which is something that's not the derech, lo mishai li'inchi, the person would never give his driver's license to someone else to carry around. So if a person is holding on to a driver's license that has a picture, you can identify him on the basis of the picture, and the picture ID has his name, so that's enough to put two and two together to be reasonable, and given the circumstances that they're coming for get, and they have called up beforehand, and you know the name, based on a phone conversation, so putting all that together is sufficient if you don't have an actual Eidus to write again on that basis.
Is that a wedding album?
A wedding album could prove that they're married, yeah. So in general, you need Eidus HaKar. However, the Mechaber Paskins are Mishnah. B'shas ha-sakana comes from the Nosin Afa B'she'e Makirin. When it comes to B'shas ha-sakana, you're allowed to write again, even if you don't have Hakara. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes over here. So he quotes from a Tshuva Sabach that this dispensation of Shas HaSakana is not limited to a situation where there's an imminent danger that the husband is going to die. But even in other extenuating circumstances, you may be able to write again without Hakara. Nira, the Kol Hecha, the Ikal Amecha, Sheteshi Vaguna, Kol Yemeha, kishas asakana dami. Any time that this is your only chance to write the get, or you're concerned that if you don't write the get now, even though you can't identify the husband properly, then that may lead to a makom ikun. Then the wife may be stuck, and you won't have another opportunity to execute the get. In that situation, that also falls under the rubric of shas asakana. So just like the term shas asakana, the Bach notes appears in the Gemara in Bamei Hakikin, and the Gemara says that the Aruch Hanukkah has to be lit Pesach Chabayis, Chatzer, Pesach Chatzer, Pesach Chabayis. But b'shas hasakana, menicha l'shulchan adayo. Shas hasakana, you can. There's a danger to practicing your religion freely, or people you're not allowed to put the Hanukkah candles outside. So it's sufficient to put it on the table in your house, and your yotzei the mitzvah. That shas hasakana. That's like the shas hasakana we discussed previously. Where they ripped the get, where the Mishnah Tzamach Yom Tzamach Dalet. So that's also termed as Shas HaSakana, as a Shas HaShmad. It was dangerous, the Rashi Subas and Peitesa we quoted, it was dangerous to have religious documents around, so they would destroy them. So Shas HaSakana doesn't always mean danger to life, but it means danger to religious observance, or the impossibility of properly exercising your observance. So that's a more expanded definition of Shas HaSakana. So Shas HaSakana may arguably also apply or include a situation where there is a concern of ego, and a concern that if you don't write the get now, then the woman may not be able to receive a get down the road. For example, if the Baal is an Osei Das, he's an irreligious person, and this is your one chance to get him, and if you're not going to be able to write the get now, she's going to be Yosheves Aguna Kol Yameha, and there's no one who could properly identify the husband, so even so, the Baal says that we're allowed to write the get under those circumstances, even absent Eidos HaKara. The Nod Bihuda is machmir on this. Nod Bihuda is quoted earlier, the Piskei Tshuva Sifkat Ches. The Nod Bihuda thinks that there's a difference between Shas HaSakan and Shas HaDchak. That Makom Sakan is literally, as Rashi described in our Sugya, where the husband's life is in danger. But Sakana doesn't always include what we would refer to as the Shas HaDchak. Not any extenuating circumstance. It's only this kind of a situation where the husband is in danger of dying and in lo achshav emasai. But the Bach quotes Lashon HaRambam, the Bach who's Mekel. It says that you can write again without Akara even in a situation of Makom Ikun. So he quotes the Lashon HaRambam in Hilchos Gittin Perek Beis Halacha Yud-Gimel, where the Rambam writes, quoting our Mishnah, "L'chei misha hayamushlach b'bor, v'amar kol ha-shemeya kol yichtav gal ishti, harei li yichtav v'yinu la, v'hu sheyedu aso, as long as they know who he is, v'yafav ishahalu v'lo v'kiru, even if they brought him out of the dungeon and they still don't recognize him, or is a kasher, excuse me, shezeh kisha sasakanahu. Shekos v'nosin afav ishahem akirin." So the Rambam doesn't write, it is a Shas HaSakana, right? It's Kish HaSakana. It's analogous to a Shas HaSakana. So that would imply, says the Bach, a more expansive understanding of Shas HaSakana. It doesn't have to be that this situation is literally a dangerous situation, but any time that there are extenuating circumstances, that could arguably be included in Shas HaSakana. And the Ramah in our Sugya also says that basically that a Shas HaShmad, a situation where it's difficult to properly exercise our religious practices, is considered a Shas HaSakana, because if you're not able to write the get then the woman's going to be in a state of igun, and you can write a get under those circumstances even without Hakara. Okay.
How often does that come up?
That you don't have active Hakara?
In other words, that there'll be a circumstance where you want to do it quickly, have a window of opportunity.
It happens
periodically.
I mean, usually in those situations we have at least the Ramosha's Hakara. Everyone has a photo ID.
Right.
But there are other applications where we may be more make about certain things, the Malcolm Egan. Yeah, there are definitely times where you have your only chance. How often? Every now and then.
Mm-hmm. an unusual case.
Right. Sometimes you have one shot, and sometimes you have to hedge your strategy.
This is a case where you don't see the husband, so he
Either you don't see him, or you can't possibly identify who he is. And you pull someone out of a dungeon, so you see him, but you have nothing other than his representation as to who he is.
Right.
He tells you, "I'm Jack Cohn."
Right.
But you don't know who Jack Cohn is, and you can't prove that he's Jack Cohn.
Right. So in today's time, if the husband is in Asia and he calls in,
right.
He calls, I don't know, who does he call? He calls the sofa, or he calls someone and says, "Okay, divorce." You know, he's ready to do it again.
Right.
So now what does that mean? So now is this that case?
That's a whole nother complicated sugya, which maybe we'll get to if we have time, as to what kind of simple understanding, the pashas, the normal circumstances, you can only authorize something in person. So is there any ability or possibility of authorizing a sofer to write something long distance over the phone or in writing? So we'll have to talk about that.
Sends
an email. Right.
So of that's the same thing.
It's even worse, right?
Email is worse.
Yes, it could be.
The email could be forged much more easily than something written. Okay. But that's a...
Let him go with the local resident.
Right.
And let them facilitate getting into America, at least with someone else.
Correct. But there isn't always a local resident.
A phone call?
So these are all... This is another long topic that I don't want to talk about right now. We'll try to get that in maybe next week. Okay. In terms of the local issue of Hakara, so under most circumstances you're able to get a baseline Hakara to prove the identity of who the person is. I guess if it could happen, someone shows up in the office and he tells you he's about to be hauled off in the jail and you can't prove who he is and he doesn't have any ID on him, so I guess that would be a case where there's no possibility of Hakara. Even then, so you write the get and then L'achar Maisa, you try to get the Hakara afterwards, just to make sure that you got it right.
I mean, today that's not... I mean, it's not like guys going to jail in Siberia, you can never track him down and use the gold.
Yeah, we get in jail also.
I mean, but now guy just comes and says he's going off to jail, so it's...
Right, but it's easier to do it outside of jail.
Okay.
I think most things.
Right. We did a get in jail a couple months ago, a little less. Maybe we have another one coming up. It happens. Very bad climate control in jail. It's very hot. Anyway.
Problem writing the get is too humid?
Yeah, there's a problem. It takes longer to dry.
Yeah? Can't you go, the one lady go to a regular room?
That is a regular room. Okay. 10:14. I guess we'll stop here and then we'll pick up the show tomorrow night. Okay.